You're listening to the Epic Youth Ministry Podcast. For more awesomeness, visit epicym.org.
How did Christianity fully form? This is awesome. Now, this is going to be a little bit of history, but I got so excited about this. I want to share this with you, okay? In just a few minutes, and then I'm going to call the worship team back up, I'm going to take us from Jesus to Rick Comstock. Are you ready for this? This might be my crowning achievement, because this has been so much fun and way too much research. So, Matthew 28. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus ascends into heaven. What does he say? He says the Great Commission. Go and be my disciples. Go into all the world and preach. And then he leaves, and his disciples awkwardly sit and stare at one another. What do we do now? So in Acts chapter 1, we see that they come together and they pray, and they pray, and they pray, and the Holy Spirit is poured out. We were just talking about that. And so Christianity, through obviously the teaching of Jesus, is birthed. Okay, you guys ready for this? I'm going to have to come over here. Nope, never mind, change my mind. I'm going to come right over here. In 33 A.D., again, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Jesus ascends and leaves his disciples to fulfill the Great Commission. In Acts chapter 1, the upper room, the Holy Spirit comes and ushers in a new era of ministry. At this point, Christianity was only for Jews, or only in for Jews, or what am I trying to say? Only Jews were Christians. There we go. And it was only in Israel. Okay, look at me. Very narrow, right? Only Jews, only in Israel. That's very narrow. In Acts 10, we see the first Gentile convert. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. Cornelius and his household. In Acts 15, the church meets because they're dumb. And they meet and say, can God do this? Ever, so dumb. Don't ever put God in a box. Like, can God save someone who's not one of us? That's what happens in Acts 15. And Peter was like, listen, I was there. I didn't do dietary restrictions. I didn't go crazy. I preached the gospel, and Cornelius was saved. Obviously, he can do it. From there, Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas split, and they start a missionary journey, which is hundreds and hundreds and year in the making, and that leads us to September 30th, 2015. Are you ready? I've already started, I know. In 42 AD, Mark, the apostle, goes to Egypt. In 49 AD, Paul, who we've been reading, we love Paul, heads to Turkey. In 51 AD, Paul heads to Greece. 52 AD, the apostle Thomas heads and does missions work in India. 174 AD, we see the first reported Christians in Austria. In 280 AD, we see first rural churches in the northern territory of Italy. Do you see, like, Christianity started at a point, now it's expanding, and it was in cities to begin with. It was a urban religion, and then it began to go to rural churches. And so it was amazing. By 350 AD, this is a crazy statistic, 53% of the Roman Empire were confessing Christians. You guys love Rome, you guys love that kind of stuff, like gladiator and stuff. Insane things. By 432 AD, St. Patrick, we celebrate him by pinching each other and wearing green. St. Patrick begins his mission work in Ireland. By 596 AD, Gregory the Great, along with the amazing theologian Augustine, head to England, and they see 10,000 converts that year. In 635 AD, we see the first missionary team enter China. By 740 AD, we see that Irish monks have reached Iceland. Do you see that it's growing, it's expanding, it's going all over Europe? By 1200 AD, the Bible has been is translated and available in 22 different languages. In 5054 AD, there are over 1,500 Christians in Thailand. In 1620 AD, the first pilgrims arrive at Plymouth Rock seeking religious liberty. 1638 AD, the first church in the United States, known as the Meeting House, which is an awesome name for a church, was founded by Roger Williams in Providence, Rhode Island. In 1734, we see the beginning of the Great Awakening, which was a religious revival spearheaded by theologians Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. In 1769, listen, the first mission along the El Camino Real trail is founded in San Diego. In 1774, the fifth mission, the San Luis Obispo mission, was founded. In 1776, the Declaration of Independence is signed. In 1828, the Protestant Society founded to send more church planters to the American West. In 1861, the Civil War begins and many churches split over the issue of slavery. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln famously said, "This nation under God will have a new birth of freedom." And then I believe in 1865, he was assassinated. In 1906, the Azusa Street Revival sparks the beginning of the Pentecostal movement. That's a movement that we are a part of. In 1913, here it comes, Edward Garner Lewis, a magazine publisher, founded what he called a utopian society, the greatest colony ever, and he called it Atascadero. In 1945 AD, show me that first picture, Frank and Marjorie Sheeman attained land at Kerberail and El Camino, right in the path of the El Camino mission. And they built a church. I have freaking goosebumps, Aaron. Remember Aaron? I got goosies. They founded a church in 1945. They called it the Church of God Assembly, or simply Pentecostal. That's pretty Pentecostal of them. On May 10th, 1970, show them that next picture, under the leadership of Pastor Howard E. Graves, Assemblies of God Church broke ground and began building a new 4,000-square-foot facility at their new location. That next picture, 5545 Ardea Avenue. Show them that next picture. Does that look familiar? I'm almost done. On August 23rd, 1987, Pastor Rick and Phyllis Comstock took over as senior pastors of Atascadero First Assembly and still lead to this present day. On October 2nd, 2013, this super awesome youth group was retitled Epic Youth Ministry. And on September 30th, 2015, Pastor Garrett preached a sermon on the history of the church, and you were there! Isn't that amazing? So listen, stand with me as we sing one last song. Worship team, get your butt up here. Listen. And now it's your turn. And now it's our turn. Hebrews 12 talks about the hall of faith that so many men and women who faithfully preach the Bible, so many men and women who poured their lives out for the good of the gospel. They did amazing things. And then it says this in Hebrews 12. I don't care. I have it memorized. It says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We have been given an amazing gift, students. We are here now in 2015, and it is our turn. What will the history books say of your faith? What will your family members say? It was because of my great grandpa who came to a youth group and had a faith in Christ that I stand here today. It's because of my great-great-grandma who loved Jesus and taught me the Bible that I am here today. It's because of this youth group, Epic Youth Ministry, that amazing things happened and lives were changed. So many lives that we won't even truly be able to comprehend this side of eternity. But when we get to see Jesus and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we get to spend the eternity with our brothers and sisters in Christ that said, "If not for you, if not for your faith, if not for you having conversations with me at school, if not for you, you don't know and you will never know. All you can do is trust God and say, I will go. Pastor Graves had a vision from God, and we are standing here because of him. Pastor Rick Comstock had a vision from God, and we are standing here because of him. I am here because of him. He was the only pastor crazy enough to give me a chance. What will the history books say of your faith? What will you do with the life that God has given you?